Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group. Eastlake Management staff proudly extends our best wishes to our veterans, armed forces, and their family members during this holiday season. We honor their relentless courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans and appreciate their strength and commitment they bring to Eastlake organization. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Happy holidays from Eastlake.
This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and it is December 7th, and we are having a good time. America's Heroes Group Roundtable, Military Families Matters, and of course now we're going to talk about America's Heroes Group Roundtable Public Policy Community Outreach, and we've got some great people that are going to do that. You know them all. And this is something that a lot of folks are going to have some strong opinions on, I think, to a lot of folks, which is good. We need to do that. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. What we're going to be talking about is the situation with the public policy, as we're talking about, relative to pot, to marijuana.
Right? Yeah. Mary Jane.
To talk about Mary Jane. Mary Jane. There's a guy who knows all about it.
Expert.
I love that. I love the movie. You remember the movie, with, I think it was called Romancing the Stone, with Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. And they were in a plane. They were in the plane, and he found some pot on the plane. He says, "You smoke pot?" And she said, "I went to college. What's wrong with you?"
You know, it's
really I went to college. Yeah, I went to college.
That voice you hear, of course, is attorney Ernesto Borges, who is an Army, Vietnam, as you well know, attorney and managing partner at Bill Buster, Borges, and Wu. And we're always happy to have him here. And we got the rest of our group here. We are so pleased to have everybody. Because this is just something that is going to be, a lot of folks are going to be talking about. A doctor, you know what the doctor does, all those doctors. Dr. Damon Arnold is with us, Colonel Dr. David Arnold, Rochelle Crump. They say women, Rochelle, women really get into smoking pot. Is that true?
Well, you know, it's been around a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, you know, if they're smoking it, they might want to sell it also. Let's say that.
That's the point. Well, since you mentioned selling it, we have to go to Sean, because
he's the money man. That's one way to dig yourself out of a budget hole, that's for sure. If you sell it, because I was looking at the numbers, actually, for this different state. So they talked about, like, in 2018, Michigan brought in, like, $633 million. And like what they project in cannabis sales, all the derivatives from the cannabis sales and things like that, and the revenue they can get from the taxes on that stuff. So some places charge anywhere from 15%, 10% tax on these different products. So that, I mean, states are cash strapped. They still have to dig themselves out of these budget holes when they have to deal with pensions and funding to police departments and schools and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge revenue opportunity. But the question is access. Who has access to make the money and be able to profit from these different types of businesses? In Illinois, we're having a controversy right now.
Right. The fact that African Americans aren't getting
excluded. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, as some of you know, we've had the medicinal marijuana laws in effect, and you've been able to sell the medicinal marijuana for the last past 3 years.
Right.
On January the 1st of this year, new decade, they will be the medicinal licensees will be able to sell recreational or adult use marijuana. Now, there are 15 in the city of Chicago that will be given licenses on the 1st. And they predict that at 6 a.m. on January 1st, people are going to be lined up down the block buying marijuana for recreational use for any adult. Now, the problem is that although there were black applicants to get medicinal licenses, none were granted medicinal licenses.
Let me tell you a story on that, Ernesto.
What?
I didn't know him, but I knew of him because he came into the studio. African American, applying for medicinal, and you know you had to have certain things, and so most people didn't have the money. He had the money, no jail time. You know, just great, just great. He had everything he was supposed to have. Had the spot. It was on 87th Street, great place. The only thing he needed was a zoning change. Mm-hmm. The people in the community came in and stopped the zoning change. People were talking about, we don't want somebody selling drugs in our community. Hey, your son's selling drugs.
That's right.
You're dumb.
Well, the thing is, it's going to happen.
I think you know who the alderman was, but she led the group.
But the problem is, it's going to happen.
Sure, and
it's going to happen. It's a business.
Right.
I'm not, I had my day back, prior to,
goodness.
30 years, 40 years ago. I went to SIU. I tell you what, you know what,
day.
Talk about women. When I left for Vietnam, I knew one woman that smoked marijuana, one. And my whole, and I knew a bunch of my repertoire of women. I only knew one. But when I came back, people were smoking pot and, mm-hmm. and Haight-Ashbury and mm-hmm. all that was going on. And I said, what's happening here?
They were sending it back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
Vietnam.
And,
yeah.
But you know, I went to my...
I know it to be true.
Yeah. But now this is a business.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
business.
You didn't know?
I was real young.
You were young.
I was very young and naive. Don't yeah. get that out. Well, I didn't know.
Well, Bill Clinton, you know, Obama. Oh, yeah, so, I mean, it's nothing to, you know.
Listen, it was funny. I was doing some work for a group that was talking about pot. You know, and everybody says, in fact, some people still laugh about it. They say, well, yeah, Cliff smokes pot. I said, no. Listen, don't take hot smoke into your lungs. That makes no sense.
No.
Right. You
no.
want pot. Eat it.
Yeah. Eat it.
Doctor, how about that?
Hey, Cliff, it's good in brownies.
It's good in brownies.
Here we go.
But the part is, we have to be part of this business
organization.
There you go. You were a brownie before you were a Girl Scout.
There you go.
Oh, that's great.
But the thing is, we're being cut out of the, you know, we're being locked up and locked out. We're being locked up for this, for these marijuana offenses and given records and everything else. And now these people, 15 white males are the ones that are going to be able to sell pot coming in January, recreational pot. Yep. And we have 0% interest in the cultivation, the transportation. We have 0% in any phase of the business.
You are familiar with the group Cole.
Yeah, it's Coalition
American. African American Leaders. And they had four or five, I go as often as I can, four or five African American folks that really knew what they were talking about. Not just the fact that we can't do that, but what we should be doing relative to the cultivation. We're not just talking about somebody on the corner smoking pot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And the only concern. And that's one of the reasons, Consul, I wanted you to talk about this, the whole circumstance relative to it's still illegal federally.
Federal,
yeah. And, you know, I know some folks in other states who've had some problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't do certain things they just can't take a chance of doing because they're afraid the feds will come in and take the money and so forth. And they won't put them in federal banks.
Federal banks, FDIC, banks. You can't cross state lines, transport it across state lines. So it all has to be grown here in Illinois.
Yeah.
So why don't we, we don't have any black growers, cultivators of it. They've cut us out of every part of this industry. We don't have any medical licensees. Mm-hmm. We don't have any recreational licensees. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went to the city council. I spoke at the city council meeting on Wednesday.
I talked to you. Yeah.
And a lot of the aldermen had a meeting, the caucus. And many of the aldermen are against it without any black involvement. And I'm in favor of stopping these others from beginning to sell it on January 1st because they're going to have such an extreme advantage. Mm-hmm. They'll have their advantages of they've already had their relationships with the cultivators, with the growers, the transporters, mm-hmm. and everybody else. Mm-hmm. They will be able to buy more, buy it at a cheaper price. They can buy in volume. Right. They can buy it all up. So if somebody gets a license in July, because if you don't have an application in, folks, the applications are due by January the 2nd. Applications are very complicated. They probably wrote the application, making that difficult for people, like writing an RFP or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can have an application. The fee is $5,000 to submit your application. Mm-hmm. If you're in one of these disproportionately disadvantaged areas, you can submit your application for $2,500. If you are granted, then they're going to grant new licenses, and I think May 1st or something like that. But there are hundreds and hundreds of people that are submitting or groups that are submitting their applications. If you're lucky enough to get one, mm-hmm. you can't sell till July 1st. But by that time, the people who have already been in the business for 3 years and 6 months, they will have a 3-year, 6-month advantage on you. They could buy up all the pot. You might not have any product to sell. Mm-hmm. You might not have the same grade that they have.
But all of this is about money. So when you look at it about money and you look at the people from other states who have been doing this much longer, those people are coming here also. Don't think
oh,
that
everybody's
they're not coming here to make more money.
Oh, yeah. They're coming from all over the country.
They are coming here, and they will have a total advantage because they have everything that they need to work with. They have the background. They have all of the credentials to do it. So they will be the front runners on making that money. I was looking at Spend Matters, and it was showing that Colorado and Washington had this huge money that was actually increased over the years, $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. And it showed that the repeaters, it's almost like the people that they're making money of are customers who come back and back and back again.
Sure,
yeah. It's off the back of poor people, and you know it's off of poor people. Mm-hmm. But then I also look at how many women, we've always had a ball and chain around us in terms of being, you know, inclusive in everything. Right. So you just wonder how many women veterans even or women general will be a part of this process to make that kind of money. It's going to be a long time coming. It'll be another fight that we'll have to go through.
And there's no set aside for veterans?
Absolutely.
No women?
Set aside
for minorities? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ernesto, you talked about the application process. You said this to fill out that 200-page application costs a lot of money for most people to do.
To get somebody to prepare it, the lowest I've heard is $35,000. Mm. One guy called me, says, Attorney Borges, he says, I have gone, we have the $2,500 to submit our application. He said, but the preparation of the application is so intense. I mean, you have to have architects involved. All kinds of security details, how you dispose of the marijuana if you have to. This is being done with CADs and three-dimensional things and then approvals.
I think it's by design because they're going to make money off of consultants who are going to be leading the process of showing people how to get into this business.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got enough smart people right around this table right now to understand the problem, and that's what they were talking about at Cole. We've got some folks who don't understand exactly how difficult consulate is to do this, but then there are other people telling them who should be helping them and they're not. Well, mm-hmm. you know, this is illegal. Mm-hmm. The feds are not supporting this. So, you know, there's a lot of game playing, as you know, and there's only going to be so many, as you pointed out.
So many. And how do you get the money? Because you got to have the finances.
Right.
You can't get an SBA loan.
Right.
You can't get a loan from a bank.
No. You can't even have a bank account with, because it's legal at the federal level, you can't even have a business account at a regular Illinois bank.
Right. Mm. They'll snatch it. The feds can snatch the money. Mm-hmm. So there's so many impediments, especially for, you know, as you said, Rochelle, that's my goddaughter, Michelle, that they've been doing it in other states. So they're coming into this state with the knowledge and the expertise of how to do it.
What's the difference? What's the difference in other states primarily?
Because it's still federal.
They
have ways of doing it. And I guess if you have a credit union and all that, you can put money into a credit union.
Oh, yeah.
There's certain banks that, and you know more than I, Sean, about this, but they have ways of doing it. I don't know all the ways that they have, but in California, it's a big business, $12 billion
business.
Well, that
I know what you're talking about, because I helped establish, you know, the bank that we have over there and on 55th Street. Yeah.
The 55th?
Right.
Don't forget your payday loans.
Yeah.
Don't forget your payday loan, people. No, seriously. All of that is going to be relevant in this process. Mm-hmm. It is, because people are going to want to get a piece of the rock.
Sure.
But the thing is, we need to stop them from going into business on January 1st. Mm-hmm. This is not fair. The advantage that they will have by July on people who still haven't even submitted their applications is going to be insurmountable. Mm-hmm. How do you get around them getting locations, prime locations that they may have? They will have set up shop, they'll have their relationships, and you're a new kid on the block in July.
Mm-hmm. But they've been working on this for a long time. This is just not something somebody thought of overnight and just kind of came and proposed it. For years they have been looking at this, because for years it has been a practice and policy in other states. So, of course, when they see that money traveling around like that, growing and the way it's growing, everybody wants a part of that.
Right. Even Fortune 500 companies have been putting the ideas and infrastructure in place.
I think the person who probably knows more about it at this table than anybody is the one who's been the most quiet, Dr. Arnold knows. Wake up, Doc. No, yeah, no, no, he's, no, no, yeah, no, 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 no.
I was just looking at that. No, no. The smoking here is going to
this plant here, right. that's a point.
I want to ask you, no, do you think that this marijuana is addictive? Do you think marijuana is addictive?
Well, the thing is that with marijuana, the reason why when I was in, at Directive IDPH, I was pushing against it was because of the inequities I saw.
Tell people about IDPH.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the Illinois Department of Public Health.
Right.
And so I was sort of pushing back against it. It wasn't about the quality of marijuana, and about the medicinal value, all those kinds of things. It was about the laws that are not in place yet. So the federal laws, you were saying, yourself and Attorney Burgess were saying, the federal law does not give the right to a medical doctor or a prescriber to give medications because it's a Schedule I drug, which is illegal. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be prescribing that. The second thing is that the people who are actually in the state that were sort of urging me to do it, the question I had for them was then, okay, so how are you going to put laws into place? What if you get stopped by a traffic violation and you have marijuana in your system? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you have alcohol, it's very easy to look at because you can tell over a 24-hour period, you can tell how much the person's had. You can actually measure it. If someone is your airline pilot and gets in the plane and says, I had medical marijuana a month ago, but it's still in my system, but I'm flying your plane today, what are you going to do to stop them?
That's right.
And how do you measure it?
Because alcohol leaves your system after 24 right. hours or so, but marijuana stayed for a month.
A month.
Even though you're not feeling the effects of it. Yeah.
And then also in a community setting, when you have people who are engaging in this, the quality of marijuana has changed dramatically over time. It has increased in the THC content by 70-fold.
Jeez.
From the time that some of us were not inhaling it back in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. We had pretty good stuff in Vietnam, they tell me. I don't
know. Yeah. But they've increased. That's they've what been I've heard. Crossbreeding this stuff and breeding it to have higher THC content. And then we don't even know what people are adding to it. That's a problem too.
Yeah.
And the CBD oils is a big thing with Juul, with the with the vaping and all that kind of stuff now. And people are adding stuff like vitamin A, palmitate. People are dying from lung failure. And so we have to be. It is not regulated enough, and I feel that we have to be very, very careful about who is in control of that.
Yeah.
What are the medical effects, negative medical effects to people that smoke a lot of marijuana or whatever? So, say they're smoking a lot of weed, they're smoking, a pack of cigarettes a day. What are the long-term negative effects, and then at what danger do they pose to the community if they have something in their system? Say they go out and get in a car and start driving, having a marijuana cigarette.
You lose your position as chief of police.
You could you could be kicked out of your house when you don't pay your bills.
But driving under the influence is more than
no. But seriously, marijuana probably has, from all the studies and everything, has probably less of an effect on your body than chronic alcoholism. Chronic alcoholism will really tear you up. But as Cliff was saying, taking it into your lungs, you still have the risk for lung cancer. You have, other things that it's associated with that it can be very COPD. Detrimental to you.
I just did some work for this group, and all of a sudden, I'm a dope fiend. You know what I mean?
I
didn't even smoke.
But you made that point over and over again about not taking hot air into your lungs. So you made that point over and over again about not taking hot air into your lungs. So it boggles my mind that multi-billion-dollar corporations that make the Juul and the gym and all the vaping cigarettes and you plug it into your computer to charge it and all that stuff like that. How can they not know and not realize that putting hot air into your lungs as a prescriber?
Sure.
Was going to be bad for kids and bad for young people.
Well, the tobacco industry, they knew it all these many years. They don't care. They're looking at the dollars.
All that testimony before Congress?
Oh.
Yeah, they locked all those bastards up.
And how is that going to affect the insurance companies?
Yeah, are you a smoker?
Yeah.
things they ask.
Yeah. I didn't smoke cigarettes. You know, but you can. You know, I just smoked marijuana. Well, you know, nothing here to say.
People always say it's better than smoking cigarettes, but it's not.
They have it on the insurance and cigarettes. I mean, they ask you about tobacco. Is that categorized under tobacco?
Well, but part of it is that, you know, when you're smoking marijuana, you're not going to smoke 20 cigarettes a day, hopefully.
I've seen some folks out there.
But the problem is that you have companies like that are out there, some of the major tobacco companies that are trying to buy the Canadian market for marijuana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But see, they have the mass production. So it's similar to the soda industry, where the soda industry came in and said, oh, you can sell bottled water for $1.25, just like I can for a pop. And, you know, because remember, the bottled water was a kind of an outside group that came in and started doing it independently. And then the soda industry turned around and said, wait a minute.
Coca-Cola said, hey, we can do
it. We can do it.
But the thing I want to tell people, I was talking to a friend of mine in St. Louis yesterday, and she was thinking how the Anheuser-Busch trucks are around, these huge trucks, green trucks, because they're saying pretty soon you'll be able to sip it. So what they hooked up with the Canadian company, invested $100 million. So you're going to be able to sell it. What they're preparing for is non-alcoholic beer infused with THC.
That's correct. That's right.
So that's the latest. So they can't mix the alcohol with the THC, but you can buy the non-alcoholic beer. People go to the store and they say, I want the alcoholic, I want the non-alcoholic, and THC. And so Anheuser-Busch has enough money to buy what they want. They can buy that legislature and everything else.
Do you remember when New York New York was doing a great thing. They were, some years ago, they were buying their drugs from Canada. Legal drugs. Legal drugs. But they could just get it cheaper.
So much cheaper.
Right. They could get it a lot cheaper than
I think Blagojevich was trying to do that at one time. At least he talked about it for one time, buying the drugs from Canada.
Yeah, the guy from New York was doing it, and, you know, of course, Blago ran into some other problems.
Judge in particular.
Well, you would think that this person who is there now would let him go. He was on his show.
He's on The Apprentice.
Yeah,
he upped the ratings a little bit.
Exactly.
One of the things,
commuted sentence.
And this is really for Ernesto, is that if you're in a WIC program or some other program where you have federally subsidized housing, if you get caught positive, you're supposed to be kicked out.
Yeah.
They will kick you out of the residence. I'm not sure of where that's going to end up.
Oh, going to be a lot of legal issues going on because, you know, even you get stopped by the police. Oh, I was smoking legal marijuana, whether it was medicinal or not, but it stays in your system because they test you. I mean, I've seen people in traffic court that got DUI tickets with no alcohol but marijuana, and they force you to go in and take your blood, and they find marijuana in your blood, and they've got they ticket you. So that's why they call it driving under the influence, as opposed to drunk driving or something alcohol.
Yeah.
It used to be alcohol, but now it's under the influence, but of whatever. It's going to be quite a time.
It's going to be very interesting.
And Illinois is different from any other state for sure.
Why is that?
Yeah, because you're here, Cliff. We got the governor here. All right.
Listen, this is why we have such great shows here at America's Heroes Group. Dr. Arnold, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ms. Crump, thank you, President Crump. And, of course, Attorney Ernesto Borges, the guy with the money, Sean Claiborne.
My pleasure.
Thanks to all of you. Appreciate it.
Hail the gangs out here.
Great.
Thank you all so much for listening to America's Heroes Group. Regarding any information on affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Walker Drive, Suite 4250. Thank you so very much for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and the community. We are so grateful always to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, of the Chicago Crusaders. Articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the governor of talk radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, Voices, and America's Heroes Group, call the Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an ad to ads@chicagocrusaders.com.